Just a quick note on dinner. When it arrives and is set up, we'll take like a 5-minute break. Everybody gather the food and then we'll re-adjourn and you can eat while we're talking.
We're good.
Good to go. Okay. First order of business is I need a motion from somebody to excuse Cynthia Jacoby and Beatrix Boteo. Beatrix will be joining us, but at the moment they're absent.
I move to excuse Counselor Jacoby from the Budget Committee meeting this evening.
Totally.
What about Beatrix?
I'm sorry, well, and allow for a late arrival of Counselor Boteo Salgado, sorry.
Second?
Sure, I second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Well, we aren't even in this district anymore, so.
Okay, Counselor Jacoby is excused from the whole meeting and Counselor Boteo is excused from the first half hour or so.
Hey, you're back, sir.
I am.
Are we short?
Okay, introductions, is that committee introductions or people you want to introduce?
Well, let's introduce everybody, so.
Okay.
Everybody knows who's here, so.
All right, well, let's start with the assembled guests, starting with Derek and we'll work our way around.
Sure, Derek Tokos, community development.
Bob Murphy, Fire Department.
Mike Cavanaugh, Parks and Rec Director.
Jason Malloy, Police Chief.
Lance Vanderbeck, Airport Director.
Jake Collins, Public Works.
Laura Kimberly, Library Director.
Jason Collins, Performing Arts Center and Visual Arts Center.
Eric Glover, Assistant City Manager and City Reporter.
And Peggy Hocker.
You're not anything.
I know, I know.
Everything else.
Okay.
Spencer Nebel, City Manager.
Steve Baher, Interim Finance Director.
Jen Kaplan, City Council.
Sam Hall, City Council.
Jeff Johnson, Committee Member.
Carol Shank, Committee Member.
Anna Prestabon.
Diane Nelson, Committee Member and Secretary.
Edmar Goble, Council.
Arian Sunman, Committee Member.
Dean Sawyer, Mayor.
Steve Lovis, Committee Member. Bob Berman, Committee Chair, and.
Ryan, with the Council.
Thank you.
County Commissioner.
Okay,
Anyone need hard copy?
Spencer has a report, an introductory report on the hit and wish list, and then we'll get into the bloody details.
Sure. So anyway, before we start, we've had some pretty exciting news, and I'm gonna turn it over to the mayor to share the news with the Budget Committee.
Okay, as some of you may know, we've been working very hard on our Big Creek Dam project. The project is estimated at $80 million. In a town of 10,000, that bond would never go anywhere. It would more than double our taxes, so there's no way we could afford that. So we've been working the last couple of years. We went back to DC about 3 years ago to talk to our congressional delegation, Kurt Schrader, Jeff Merkley, and Ron Wyden. And CM was with us when we talked to Senator Merkley. And they're all for the project. It's just that there is no federal funding for dams, for public dams. There is for Army Corps of Engineers, but not like our dam. So we've been working very strongly with Congressman Schrader. And about, what, 3 weeks ago, he made a report to the Congress and mentioned the Big Creek Dam project to the Congress. And
the only project he mentioned was the Big Creek Dam, so.
And about a month and a half ago, I had a conversation. I called Peter DeFazio's office, and I talked to his chief of staff for about 45 minutes, and he was very supportive of our project. Today, the Kurt Schrader put in a bill, money for the Big Creek Dam. It was before a Congress committee, and it was authorized by the committee for $60 million.
Oh, my God.
So. And as you know, David Gomberg and Dick Anderson put a bill into the Oregon State Legislature for us for $15 million for lottery funds. Those have not been awarded yet, but we are hopefully getting those so far, as long as the lottery keeps going. As you all know, the first go-around, we got $5 million. And the lottery went south because of COVID. When it came back up, we were reauthorized, plus another 10. So If you do the math, that's about $75 million that hopefully we will have from the state and the federal government. Unfortunately, we've been told by our lobbying group, Digby Research, who has done a lot of work on this program for us, that every day we don't start the project, the price goes up. Obviously, labor costs go up, material costs go up. So we will probably figure it will be in excess of 80. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But again, just the fact this bill was put in today, and all it is an authorization. It's not an appropriation. Those are totally separate. It has to go through the whole Congress, be approved there, and then be approved by the Senate. So we still have a long way to go, a lot of work. We have to talk to our congressional delegation. And as you well know, there's a current election for the replacement of Peter DeFazio. Obviously, we will be switched January 1st into that new district. I have talked to two of the candidates that are running for that seat, and one of them has committed to me that she is for the project, so which is going to be very helpful. But again, we still we don't have the money in the pocket, and we can't put it in the budget, unfortunately. But anyway, it's a big deal because we finally, what we've been working for is to try to get some recognition for public dams in the federal budget. And if this goes through, it's going to really be a big, big thing. So we're pretty happy.
Good work.
So the rest of this is much less exciting. But we'll work our way through the process here. But tonight, this is the second meeting of the Budget Committee to review and approve a budget for the City of Newport and Urban Renewal Agency for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2022 and ending June 30th, 2023. At the first meeting, the Budget Committee met, identified various items that were added to the hit and wish list. During the time period between the first meeting and this meeting, department heads and others have compiled information regarding the hit and wish list items, which was compiled and sent to the Budget Committee, which you have had a chance to take a look at. The hit and wish list includes questions and modifications that were requested from individual members. We've marked items with either an A as an action item or R as a report, not necessarily requiring action. And what we will do is we will go through my report on all the A items and determine whether there's a desire to make a change from the proposed budget or not. On those items, as our chair leads us through that process, he'll ask whether someone wants to make a motion to modify the proposed budget. And if someone makes that motion and someone supports that motion, then the item will be up for discussion. And after the discussion, the chair will call for a vote. If there's a majority of the Budget Committee members supporting that change, we'll make that change to the proposed budget. After we get to the end of the list, if there's any items that were on the informational report, items that triggers a desire to do something different budget-wise, the chair will ask, you know, if there's anything else to be brought forward for potential modifications to the budget, and so there'll be an opportunity to talk about those items. We do have staff here that are involved with the items that are on the hit and wish list. If there are any questions that folks have, we can forward them to me, and I can forward them to staff for responses. And then we'll compile the budget as modified from tonight's meeting, and we'll have that out to you on Friday for our final meeting, which is Tuesday at 6 o'clock, and that should be a relatively short meeting actually approve the budget, unless there's any other adjustments we need to make between the actions you decide tonight and next Tuesday. So that's basically the process. Are there any questions on kind of how to deal with a request of change in the budget? Okay. Before we get to the hit and wish list item, if you take a look at the projections, one of the things that we have been doing is putting together projections for a five-year period to take a look at how things are trending in the general fund and our other major activity funds. And Steve, if you can get the general fund based on the proposed budget kind of as a threshold, oh, you got it up. very efficient. So on the screen, you can see the general fund, and this is based on the budget that was initially proposed. And the red line is the threshold that's defined by the city's investment and fund balance policy. The blue line is where we're actually at. So as you look at the general fund, you can see that the general fund is above our thresholds, and with the proposed budget, continues to work its way down towards the red line, but we're above the red line based on the proposed budget. Now, we took a look at everything just as a second example of the, if you approved everything that was in the recommended column to show what happens to these lines. So if you can put that one up for the general fund. That's not the right one, Steve. That's the.
Oh, that's the main.
Yeah, that's. We can leave this one up if you can focus on the screen. Actually, you could leave that one up.
Which one did you want to
get? Yeah, so the one with the adjustments based on the recommendations. Okay, so it's not quite as bad as the other one, but this is the this is with all the proposed. Changes in the budget that I recommended in the hit and wish list. So it still keeps us in relatively good shape right up until the end. And as I indicated in my report, the important thing to note is in after 2007, we retired the South Beach Urban Renewal District, and the general fund's going to get about $1 million more of funds. Now, the other one, that the gloomier picture that you put up,
Well, the question on this one, does it include this last additional item?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you want the, which one do you want next?
Yeah, the one that shows $1 million of investment in facilities each year. So this is, again, how these, you know, what happens if we make a investment of $1 million a year in our parks and in our facilities, we end up heading south, you know, before we get to the end. And basically, in the projections, which were based on the historic numbers, there's only, I think, about 115,000 or a little over 100,000 in that column. This would be what happens if we were investing $1 million a year in our facilities. And so you can see this is still where the shortfall exists. This is what we tried to address with the proposals that we had out in November. The problem is still here if we're going to make the necessary investments in our parks and in our facilities going forward. But again, it's not an immediate issue that has to be addressed in this budget year, but it's still something that the council is going to have to take a look at how we close that particular gap going forward. Yeah, Jan?
I noted the local taxes seem to grow in these projections.
Yeah, so what happens?
Federal and state seem less than I would anticipate.
Right. So the property tax is limited with Measure 50. And so if you own property in the city, and for those in the real estate world, you know what's happened to the value of property going forward. The most that we can realize on an individual parcel of property is a 3% increase. So if inflation creeps up, you know, one of our major general fund revenues is going to be limited. It's not going to follow that pathway. Now, one that does follow, you know, kind of inflationary needs is the room tax, because that's based on the price of a room. And as if that price of the room goes up and the occupancy goes up, then, you know, that will adjust with inflation. The other issue that I talked about in the report, you know, with the gas tax, you know, right now we're you know, charging a penny a gallon until, I think, or maybe, are we up to the 3 cents? I can't remember which month we start.
Yeah, I can't remember which one.
Yeah, so, so we're either a penny or 3 cents a gallon, but if we're a penny, because a penny is easier to multiply, and 20 gallons of gas costs you $40, we get 20 cents, you know, from that for roads. If gas goes to $4 an hour, $4 a gallon, you're paying $80 now for that same amount of gas, we're still getting 20 cents. You know, so the gas taxes on gallons, it does not matter whether gas is going up or gas is going down, and we get 1 cent for 7 months of the year, and we get 3 cents for 5 months of the year under the existing gas tax to help fund roads. And so anyway, some of those revenues will be impacted by inflation, but others are limited based on the various limitations. Now, one thing that we can show you too, if you can put the general fund back up, and let's say the cost of labor, for example, you know, we've got 3.5% over the 5 year period going here. Let's say it's 6% a year going forward. You can see what happens to the lines here. So.
Well, my main question, Spencer, was I understand the property, those are actually pretty easy to compute because right. It's 3% a year.
Right.
But that we don't project any federal funding in the general fund after.
Oh, yeah, the federal funding, the general fund normally does not receive a lot of federal funding. Now, the airport fund or some of our construction funds, our water funds, they may receive more federal funding. That is the ARPA funds
okay.
that we're going to get for a 2 year period. So again, if our labor costs instead of going up 3.5% go up, did you use 6%?
Yeah, I used 6% for all 5 years. I didn't know if you wanted.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll keep it simple. As you can see, if that happens, then we end up, you know, obviously heading south of the red line a little sooner. And so again, with inflation kind of in flux, it's hard to predict what's going to happen. We have pretty conservative assumptions in here. If inflation is much higher than what we're expecting, then that could change the picture quite a bit, because our expenses are going to go up more than what our revenues will, because of the limitations on some of our revenues. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at with the projections. Are there any questions on that?
Just a comment. This is that financial projection tool that we've all been looking forward to for years, and it's fabulous to be able to do that and stick those numbers in. And you may be able to do that as we go through on some of these other major items.
Depends on the change.
Yeah, it depends on the item. Some are easy to do. Some affected multiple lines in the charts. So.
Well, thank you for demonstrating that. I assume we're going to go back to these financial projections when we get to it in the agenda later on.
Well, actually, this was our primary discussion on this. We're going to.
Oh,
so, are there any other questions on that? Then we're going to go back to the hit and wish list. So I think Steve had a question. And
just wondering what sort of new construction assumptions for housing and commercial buildings was put into the budget?
Yeah, from a projection standpoint, we were, for property taxes, we were projecting
just pretty much 3%.
Okay, the 3%. And what happens is some commercial properties will not be adjusted each year, so they stay flat. Some other properties will go up, so basically our inflationary increase is usually less than 3%, because not all properties go up every year with the assessments, and so whatever that gap would be.
Yeah, we have had some years where it's above 3%, but that, I'm assuming that's because of new property
right.
coming onto the market. So.
So it kind of washes out a bit. So.
Thank you.
I think there's a question.
Yes.
I had a question about, to me, if it's a pay me now or pay me later, if we're not making this $1 million of capital funds, we're going to be, I mean, these things aren't getting repaired, they're not getting upgraded, and I'm worried about, you know, pay me now or pay me later, we're going to be paying later on. So I guess that just concerns me.
No, it's a very valid concern. I'm concerned about it as well. I think it's something that, you know, it's not a crisis that has to be resolved in the next, you know, year. It does have to get resolved in the long term, though, to be able to make these investments that we need to make. You know, we just had, for example, at the library, you know, we've had deferred maintenance in the library building. We had windows that we were replacing. As a result of deferred maintenance over the years and not having the dollars in order to make those improvements, you know, we're replacing sections of walls that wouldn't have to be done. So it is, it's pay me now or pay me a lot more later, and yeah, we're in that pay me a lot more later mode on some of these issues we're trying to take care of.
Other question? I had a couple of little things. The under other taxes, apparently from comparing the numbers, that's where the 5% in lieu of shows up.
Let me check.
Which is not exactly a tax, but that's the only number that changed between the two sheets.
So. I can't remember where I hit that.
Whenever you want to take a break, then everything's in there.
Okay, we'll get through the forecast thing in a couple of minutes. Thank you, Peggy.
Actually, it has its own line. It has its own line entry.
They didn't bring them.
Must have been summed up into other taxes, so that was a little bit confusing. And I see that the recreation fund, I know we're all waiting for a business plan on that, and hopefully there'll be some good suggestions in there as to how to keep this subsidy from rising significantly. So about close to 25% over the course of this. So it just keeps increasing. The subsidy keeps increasing, and I was hoping it would go down, as it basically did, or stayed stable at the airport. Those are my two pet peeves about.
So I got the rec fund up too there, in case you were wondering about that one.
Yeah, transfer from other funds is the line I'm looking at.
Right, and that's basically the general funds, general fund, right, and room tax subsidies.
Yeah, so it's an ongoing issue, and I'm looking forward. I was hoping we'd have that business plan for this year's deliberations, but I understand there were delays, and that's just fine. I mean, that's the way it is. The other thing is on the stormwater fund. On the forecast, I thought we were making an effort to keep the ending fund balance equal to or above the required fund balance, and that one seems to go up and down.
The reason that does there is that's a point when additional debt under our borrowing plan would be paying, and what it means is we're going to have to do an adjustment in rates in order to cover that additional debt. Because we're on a scheduled basis for $4.5 million of borrowing every, I can't remember what the sequence is, but there's four $4.5 million borrowings, and that's when the last one goes into effect.
Okay.
And that's for capital construction.
Okay, and the $1 million is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But as you said, it's pretty important to start paying attention to that. Okay, any other questions on the financial projections? Comments, questions? If not, we'll take a 5-minute break. We'll get back here at 6:30. Food is ready in the other room.
A leisurely dinner.
Yeah.
And we'll be back.
So look for food items with your name on them. Just in case you forgot what you ordered, your name is on them.
Do I know my name?
Yeah. So we're done with